You would turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, please. The book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. We'll pick up, we'll start this chapter through our study of the book of Acts, and the Lord has led us up to this point, and Paul's missionary journey. He has finished that journey and is getting ready to begin his second missionary journey. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 10. I want to thank all of you joining us live stream. If you want to take the time to share the post with some folks that maybe not have a service to attend tonight, please do that and encourage folks to tune in. I trust you'll be encouraged. And then, of course, all of you here tonight, wonderful group gathered together around the Word of God and around just the praises of the Lord. And thank God for it. So we're in there in Acts chapter 16, and I'm going to go ahead and read verses 1 through 10. The Bible says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them to decrees for to keep, that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith, and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed or tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Friends, tonight I want to preach a message to you titled, "Where Do We Go From Here?" Where do we go from here? Let's ask the Lord to help us. Spirit of God, I confess to you tonight that I can do nothing without you. Lord, let me not preach anything in the flesh. I just want you to speak through me with your precious holy word. And I pray that you would meet needs tonight. I pray that you would call forth laborers. I pray you would strengthen. I pray you'd clarify. I pray you'd comfort. Lord, I do pray that you would have your will and way in our lives, in this church. And God, all those that may be listening from other parts of the country or even world, oh God, have your way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Where do we go from here? We all find ourselves in times of life where we meet roadblocks. You may be at one right now in your life, but we all come to those. And sometimes they're quite perplexing, sometimes quite difficult, are they not? I remember, and those of you that went on the New York City missions trip will definitely be able to relate, but I remember last year on that trip as we went with a church, I can't remember how many of us went. Was it around 27? How did we take that many people? I don't know. But we did it, all right? We did it. We did it with the Lord's help, and we had a great time and learned a lot, but There was Pastor David Wilt. He's the pastor of Liberty View Baptist Church. We support him and so thankful for he and his wife Elizabeth and the great work they're doing. But Brother David was so kind one day to take us out sightseeing. And I don't know, at that time, I don't know that I had ever walked so far in my life. And it was interesting why that was. And I think the teammates could probably relate, but one of the reasons that it was is because the navigation part was not working like it should have been. In fact, there was a portion of the subway that was shut down. I can't remember the exact reason. I don't know if they were on strike, if they were doing maintenance. But the fact of the matter is, there were sections that were shut down. So therefore, we had to navigate all around and do different things. And then we had Brother Wilt leading us. And he did a great job. But I want to tell you, when he thought he knew the best way, he about killed us. Because he would take us to one spot, and sure enough, whoever was staying there was like, no, 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 you got to go back that way. And of course, the team, we're all trying to be humble and servants. But by the end, we had lost our sanctification. We almost all killed him, okay? But no, with all seriousness, it was something else. But we were hitting roadblock after roadblock, and it was like, what in the world is going on here? You know, life does feel that way sometimes. You just hit some dead ends, and you're like, okay, Lord, where do we go from here? You know, things that happen in life and we just aren't expecting. Life is like that sometimes. God will bring a circumstance that totally catches you off guard. I think we can relate to that a little bit over the past couple months, can we not? None of us were prepared for the COVID-19 and what it has brought forth. And we couldn't have prepared for that. But God intended it that way. And in many ways, to test our faith, to strengthen our faith. But in our text here, Paul gets stopped. He comes to a couple roadblocks from continuing the direction he sent out to go. He had a course. He had a mission. He had a desire, and he was intending to go that way. And he had a right spirit, by the way. He was not being selfish with this. But he had just imagined, like, this is the path that God has us on. And so that's the direction he was going, and rightly so. But then we're going to see Paul's movements and see how God led in a different route than was expected. And tonight, that's what I want to just bring out, several points here on following the movements of Paul. Following his track, following his route, and see what we can draw from this instance in our own lives. Where you are today and how God is leading you. Where do we go from here? What do we do now? Maybe things are gray. Maybe things are just a little confusing. Well, we're going to see some things here tonight that I have no doubt are going to give light and help here from God's Word. Number one, notice with me, if you're taking notes, and I encourage that, if all possible, maybe you have a great memory and you don't need to do that, and I understand. Some people do, honestly, I don't, but some people have a great memory, they can just remember points, and it works out well. But if you don't, try to write some of these down. Number one, I do believe that God changing Paul's route, and some things that we can see is, number one, Paul parts ways with his good friend Barnabas. We've already gone over that message, but let's start with that place right there. God is going to separate two great men of God. Two servants of the Lord, and we're not going to go back over that message, but it does appear that Paul was more in the right, in a sense, with the approval of the church there especially. But nevertheless, they both were seeking to honor the Lord. I believe they both had a pure heart. I believe they both had pure motives. But nevertheless, Paul is going to part ways with this Barnabas. Now, I'm sure that caught him by surprise. So perhaps Paul at that time was thinking, okay, where do we go from here? Wasn't expecting that. Wasn't expecting Barnabas to take John Mark. But what do we do? Well, one thing's for sure that we must realize when things don't go our way. One thing to realize from what we see right here in this text is God is going to always provide exactly what we need in the exact time. He'll meet our needs to the exact point, and we can trust Him for that. Because notice what happens when they separate, and notice what God is going to do. God is going to give Paul another co-worker. That co-worker is a man by the name of Silas. We see that because in verse 40, in chapter 15, notice in your Bible, it says, "And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended, being approved, supported, encouraged by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia confirming the churches. So notice here, God provides exactly what Paul needs. Who was Silas? Well, Silas was a man of God. Notice in verse 32, he was a prophet. He exhorted. He was a real servant of the Lord. We see testimony given that he was a secretary to Peter. He was trusted in the church. He had a great testimony. And God is going to use Silas in a great way with a great attitude. God's going to provide. And then we see here that the church is going to send them out. Even though they've parted ways from Barnabas, guess what's going to happen? God is going to send Paul north. And I want to see just a map here just to get us an idea to where we're at. Do we have that? All right, go to the second one. That one might be a little clearer here. Can you go to the second one? Okay, so I'm not sure if you can get it from both sides. So they're going to start, okay, down here, and after the Jerusalem Council, then they'll be going back up to Antioch, okay? Well, Paul is going to take Silas with him back up north, and they're going to go through his hometown. Now, Barnabas and John Mark are going to go this direction. So it's interesting how God sends them on the reverse direction. Those of you over here, I'll try to do it here. They're going to start down here, and they're going to move back up, Paul and Silas, okay? And they're going to start going the reverse way, the where they ended, where Paul and Barnabas ended, is where Paul and Silas are going to start. They're going to move right over here. And so God is going to use that in a great way, and we'll see that. It didn't make sense perhaps at first, but it's going to make perfect sense at the end of the trip. By the way, that's the way it goes. It may not make sense to you now, but give it some time. Give it some time. It's going to make sense. It's going to make more sense as we follow the Lord and do that. And so what happens? They're going to go up through their hometown, and this route is going to take them straight through the area where the first missionary journey ended. And there was a reason for that. Now, I'm sure, could you imagine being on that trail there with Paul and Silas headed back up to Asia Minor and going up north? Can you imagine some of the conversations that might have gone on that trip? Paul speaking. Now, Silas, the last time we were in Derbe and Lystra, things got sort of crazy. I was almost killed. People started worshiping us, me and Barnabas. They started hailing us as gods. Then they got mad at us and tried to kill us. We saw somebody get saved, and we were just seeing some crazy things. And of course, Silas is, I don't know what's going through his mind, but he's thinking, oh, joy, this is going to be fun. I mean, imagine this trip now. They're headed back up there, and Paul's maybe preparing Silas, but on their way, they get to their next destination, which there, if you're following along there in your Bible, it says that as they were serving the Lord together, they found Timothy. Well, where did they find Timothy? They found him there in Derbe and Lystra. And that's where they would sort of recruit him. And that explains another reason why God had them go the direction where they would pick up at the end of their last trip. Instead of going the same direction, they went in the other way. Why was that? God wanted Paul to go and get Timotheus. And Timotheus was an interesting fella. He had a great testimony. He was, of course, impacted by his grandmother and mother that we read about in the Word of God and led him to the Lord. And he had a Greek father. So he was half Jewish, half Greek. But he was sold out to the Lord, to the Lord God. And so before they take a trip, it's interesting that Timothy's going to get circumcised. And you say, well, why would he do that? I just thought we learned that circumcision wasn't necessary if you were a Gentile. Well, even though he was part Gentile, Paul knew in his wisdom that in order to reach the Jewish people where they were going, Paul knew that in order to keep from being a stumbling block to those people that they're trying to reach with the gospel, it would be best for Timothy to be circumcised. Now, we know that Titus, he didn't require Titus to be circumcised. Titus was a Gentile. That was not as commanded of Paul. And so he was balanced in that, but Timothy is yes, because he knew that would be profitable for the ministry. Neither would it violate, but neither do we see Paul saying you needed to be circumcised to be saved. No. What does the Word of God say there? It says that he did that in verse number four, and they went through all the seas, they delivered them to decrees for to keep, were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. Again, I wanted to read verse 3 is what I wanted to point out. Notice that verse 3, it says, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews, which were in those quarters. They knew that Timothy was Greek as well, half Greek. So what is the problem here? This is what I believe the problem was. It wasn't necessarily a problem, but it was a need. I believe personally that Paul and both Timothy both realized that those Jews knew, hey, he's either going to claim his Jewish heritage or he's going to claim to his Gentile heritage. Which one's it going to be? Well, right here, he makes it clear. He was going to cling to his Jewish heritage, although he wasn't going to compromise his belief that grace, that salvation was by grace alone through faith. He wasn't going to compromise that. Paul never did. But he did that for the sake of the ministry. And so Timothy joins the missionary team. So now you got Paul, you got Silas, and you got Timothy. Boy, what a blessing this is. Well, how this is going to be especially good for the team. And God knows how to put his teams together, by the way. God knows how to put couples together. God knows how to put teams together. God knows how to put people together. God knows what he's doing. Many times we try to force things in our own way and manipulate our own way, but God leads perfectly and gives us exactly what we need. But why is this such a good situation? Well, imagine this. Paul now has the opportunity to travel all this whole missionary journey while doing what? Training Timothy, who was going to be a lifelong friend, a lifelong son in the faith, that he was going to be pastoring churches and planting churches. And Paul was going to use this journey to be able to train him. If they would have gone the other direction, the original direction that Paul and Barnabas went to, they would have gotten to Timothy last. And he would not be able to experience all that they're going to go through in this journey. But guess what? God saw it fit to get to go this direction so they could get Timothy. And not only was he going to be able to train Timothy, but Timothy was going to be able to learn from the great apostle Paul, a giant of the faith, the apostle Paul. And you know, incidentally, Paul's name means small or little. You know why I believe Paul was considered one of the greatest Christians of all times? Because he considered himself a servant. He considered himself the least of all apostles. He didn't consider himself to be grand. He didn't consider himself to be great. He didn't consider himself to be the best. He didn't consider himself the most used or the most talented. No, he had a servant's heart. And Timothy's going to be able to learn from this man. And we would all cherish the moment to learn from a servant of the Lord. You want to be promoted in life, and I want to be promoted in life. It's very simple, church. It's this simple. Be a servant. Just be a servant. God said it, didn't he? In Matthew 23:11, he said, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. The greatest is going to be a servant. And when Paul didn't know what to do, Paul just kept on going because Paul had a servant's heart. And many times that will help us when we don't know what the next step to be. We can at least say, Lord, just help me be a servant wherever I am. Plant my feet and make me a servant, dear Lord, like you. That is where God's going to continue leading you in a plain path and leading me. And then when you humble yourself to a servant and serving others, you know what? God will exalt you. God will exalt you. How do I know that? Because of 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. Why? That he may exalt you in due time. God has a way for his people to get low so that he can be lifted up. so that He can be glorified. And this is a wonderful characteristic that we see in Paul's life. So we see, first of all, number one here, Paul parts ways with his good friend Barnabas and says, where do we go from here? But God leads clearly. Number two, Paul continues with this mission he set out to do in verses 4 and 5. Notice what the Word of God says. It says, and they went through the cities. What cities? Well, it was those cities that they had, Paul and Barnabas had been through and won people to Christ and planted churches. And they continue that. Well, that's exactly what Paul had set out to do. How do I know that? Well, look back up there in your Bible and look at verse number 36. Back before the separation, this is what Paul said to Barnabas. I tell you what I want to do, Barnabas. He said this, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. So here's second lesson. Paul just continues with the original mission that God had given him. And many times when we don't know what to do or where do we go from here, just continue doing what you know is right. Continue doing what you know to be the revelation of God in your life. The last command, if you will, the last word that He gave you. Just stay faithful with that. You see, we're going to see here that in verses 4 and 5 that He's going to continue to establish the churches and encourage them. He's going to notice in number 4, He's going to say, and He's going to deliver the decrees for to keep. What was that? That were ordained of the apostles. You remember that, the Council of Jerusalem. What was that? Number one, what was the first one that they covered? And that was very clear. Saved by what? Grace alone. Saved by grace alone. No, you don't have to be circumcised. No, you don't have to keep the Jewish traditions to be saved. No, no, no. That's not true. You can be saved through faith and faith alone by God's amazing grace. So they were going and reporting that to these churches up there. Just to clarify. And then secondly, what was the other decree? The other was, but you Gentiles, don't be a stumbling block to your Jewish brothers and sisters. So the second decree was, hey, be cautious, be careful. Go out of your way not to be a stumbling block in any way to your brother and sister in Christ, the Jewish brethren. And so we see that it was a saved by grace message and love one another message. It was a twofold message. And then we see in verse number 5, notice in your Bible, it says, and the churches were doing great. It says the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. I do believe, church, that a church faithfully sharing the gospel and teaching the whole counsel of God should be growing. That's just a sowing and reaping law. We are faithfully sowing the seed of the Word of God. God gives increase. The Lord does it. And as we're seeing people discipled and seeing people reached, that is and should be the norm. And by the way, if it's not the norm, it should. Hey, it should be. And if it's not, we should never get used to it. I got a sticky note on my refrigerator to remind me as much as I go to that refrigerator. And I want to tell you it's a lot, okay? You probably shouldn't go to it as much. But is that I put right on there, Lord, please help me to never get used to people not being saved. I'll say that again. Lord, please help me not to get used to people not being saved. God, give me a burden every day to see You work in lives and change lives. That is what I believe was in the heart of Paul. And although he didn't have all the answers, he was moving forward with the light he had, and God was going to bless that spirit. And I want us to see, number three, that not only did Paul continue with the mission he set out to do, but number three, Paul reaches some roadblocks on the journey. What happens? Well, we notice in the Word of God, it says that when in verse 6 is where we're going to start seeing the roadblocks. You can write it in your Bibles if you're taking notes. Verse 6 is a roadblock. Verse 7 is a roadblock. We can call it a Holy Spirit-led roadblock. Okay? That's what verses 6 and 7 are in your Bibles. Because look what happens. They were going to go throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. In other words, the Spirit of God said no. No. They're not going to go to preach the word in Asia. So there was one stop right there. And you know where that was going to be? We'll study it later. You know where it was going to be? It was going to be Ephesus and Colossae. And that area of Asia Minor where Paul was really looking forward to getting to. And he would get to it, but God at the time said, not now. Not now. You're going to go, I got something else in mind. And when we don't know what to do next, sometimes we want to get ahead of God. But as we're moving forward, the Lord is so gracious and such a great shepherd that He loves us so much that we're going, we're ignorant, we're like sheep. You know, we're going our way, we're thinking's right, and there's nothing wrong with that. And the Lord says, hold, wait a minute, I'm going to detour right here. I got another direction for you. God will do that. And He did that right there in verse number 6. And then Paul, it seems like he's got a good attitude. We don't see any complaining here, any testimonies of that anyway. And notice in verse 7. So, okay, the Lord, I'm sure like Paul's like, okay, we're here to serve, Lord. And so it says, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. So now he's wanting to go north. He was wanting to go west, and now he's wanting to go north to Bithynia. And guess what? The Spirit suffered them not. In other words, it didn't allow him. There was no peace there. So here they are serving the Lord. And so then what happens? It says in verse number 8, and they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. Let's look at our chart one more time tonight. This will be our last time for tonight anyway. Do you got that, fellas? Okay, is that the second one? Can you do the second? Okay. So they get over here. And they're moving up here, and they're wanting to get over here in the Asia Minor of this area, the Phrygia area, where Colossae and Ephesus and Laodicea, that's where Paul's wanting to go. Spirit of God said, no. All right, so Paul's then going to go up here to Bithynia. He's going to try to get up here. He couldn't go here, so he's going to try to go here. And guess what? The Spirit of God said, no, Paul, go west. Go west. So, he's going to Troas. The Spirit of God leads him to Troas. That's the next step. He feels led in that direction. Nothing real clear, no lightning bolts there, but he just feels an impression of God to go that direction. And that is what he's going to do. And that is where he's going to get more revelation from the Lord. So what do you do tonight? I want to share a few things with you. What do you do when you come to the roadblocks? If you're writing these down, I have five things I want to share with you. Please remember these and please be encouraged by them. What do you do when you come to roadblocks? Well, I'll tell you what you do. Number one is you keep going. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean by that, as I know the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Wait on the Lord. We got a lot about waiting on the Lord in Scripture. But this, listen to what I'm saying. Keep going. That means don't get lazy. Don't get lethargic. Okay, don't just stop serving the God. Well, I don't know what to do next, so I guess I'm just not going to do anything. No, be a servant. Paul gave us that example, did he not? He didn't know what to do next, but he came here. Boom, God moved him that way. Boom. You know why he did that? Because he had a servant's heart. God, just put me where I can be used best for your glory. Wherever it may be. God, I just want to go and do something for you and your glory. May God give us all that spirit. Number one, we keep going. Number two, second point is we stay encouraged. Hey, when God puts a roadblock up in our lives, my friends, it's not a time to be discouraged. That's not a time to start doubting. That's not a time to start listening to the lies of Satan when he's starting whispering, saying it's all over. You're wasting your time, by the way. What are you doing? You don't even know what you're doing. You're here, there. You have no idea what you're doing. You say this and then you do this, and Satan can get in there real quick and start accusing and deceiving and discouraging. But my friends, it is not the time to get discouraged. Stay encouraged. Don't start doubting the Lord. I'm sure there could have been times, and even Silas. And by the way, that's why it's so important to have let God put the team together. But I just wonder what was going on with the team. Silas and Timothy. I wonder what the conversations were like. Paul, are you sure? I don't know if they were saying this. Paul, what's going on? But you know, I believe that they all had good attitudes, in my opinion. Were they perfect? No. But I believe they were determined that even though God would stop them from going certain areas, they knew the Lord was faithful and the Lord would lead them all the way through. In fact, when they got to Troas, guess who they got? They got Dr. Luke. The writer of the book of Luke and the book of Acts would meet them in Troas. And God and Paul would recruit Dr. Luke and he would continue on. In fact, if you note in your Bibles, verse 10 is the first time in the book of Acts that Luke writes in the first person plural when he says we. Notice what your Bible says there in verse number 10. It says, as he was saying, it says, and after he had the vision, it immediately, underline it, we endeavored. That's Luke writing this. And Luke was with them now, and though God wasn't making much sense, but I can guarantee you at this time, Paul's thinking, whoa, now I see why you wouldn't let me go west too soon. Now I see why you let me go north to a certain place. And now I know why you said west. You wanted me to go to Troas and get Dr. Luke. I don't know if he said it all that way, but that's the way I would have said it, baby. Just thinking that, listen, God is working. And my friends, you may not have all the answers right now, but you, number one, keep serving with the Lord where the light He's given you, you plug in both feet, both arms, full energy, serve where you've been planted until God gives you more direction. And when He gives you more direction, He's going to make it clear. But my friends, you cannot, and you and I cannot give up. We got to stay encouraged. Number three, what do you do when you don't know what to do next? Where do we go from here? Number three, be open to going wherever, whenever. Number three, be open to going wherever and whenever God leads you. That's a big point. Is it not, church? That is a massive point tonight. Because in order for us to know where do we go from here, you and I both, every one of us, has to have a heart that says, Lord, wherever. Wherever. Wherever in the world, wherever in my county, wherever in my neighborhood, whatever you want me to do, God, I want it. And Paul had that heart. And I believe that's why he got to the Macedonian call, because God was testing him to see if he might get frustrated and turn around and go on back to Antioch and said, well, listen, God didn't know where he wanted me to go. Well, I'm just not going to go then. No, that wasn't the case, was it? He just kept on going. He did not give up. He stayed encouraged and he was willing to go wherever God. Let me say this. This is a pretty overwhelming thought to my mind. I don't know about yours, but Paul literally was willing to go anywhere. And I mean anywhere. In fact, he was so willing to go anywhere, Paul was willing to go to hell himself on the behalf of his brethren. Now listen, that's a lot more spiritual than me, because there's not a person. Hey, listen, you think about that. Who are you willing to go to hell for? For all eternity. Paul had such a burden for his brethren that he said, I wish myself accursed for the sake of my brethren. That they might come to know Christ. Mark it down in your Bibles. Romans chapter 9 verse 3. He says it right there. And he knew that was not doctrinally possible. But that was his heart. He knew that every man has to give an account for himself. But I want to tell you, Paul was willing to go anywhere. What about you tonight? What about me? Anything that God asks, are we willing? That's where it's got to start. That's a spirit of revival, is it not? And that's where we need to be as a church. So number three, we see, be open to going wherever and whenever God calls. But number four, listen to the Spirit of God. Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? My dad used to say that to me all the time. It used to drive me crazy. Son, you listening to me? You listening? And it used to drive me crazy. I say, yes, Dad. What'd I just say? Something about something is basically how it came out. My dad used to do it. It used to drive me crazy. But now I see why he did it. Because he realized I was not one that paid attention. I still struggle with that. My listening skills. That selective hearing. But my dad used to hold me accountable. I remember it. Son, listen. Are you listening? He could look at me and tell if I was listening. He'd say that. And I catch myself doing that with my children. Why did Dad do that? Because he wanted to see if I was truly tuned in to what he was saying. And folks, as God's children, we got to be in tune with God every day. Just listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Not an audible voice, but God speaks to the soul. God just speaks in a still, small voice. It can be as clear as an audible voice, but it's not an audible voice. We have the whole Word of God right here. But as we read the Word of God and live the Word of God, the Spirit of God speaks. And that's what happened here. The Spirit of God was speaking. He was telling Paul, no, not right here. No, not right here. Yes, yes, that way. Yes, that way. And boom, the vision. The Spirit of God gives Paul a vision of somebody crying out for help. And we're going to be finding out who that is. Listen, if you sincerely don't hear God's voice in a matter, let me just tell you, just keep going with what you know. The last voice that was clear, just keep at it. Listen, one thing I've learned, I'm still learning, God's got your address. God's got my address. He knows exactly where I'm at all times. And when God Almighty, the Creator of the universe, the One who put the stars in their place, the One who gave us the sun, the One who gave us the moon, the One who gave us the breath of life, when He wants to tell us something, He's going to say it. Sometimes we limit God. Well, God, I'm just not going to hear Your voice. I'm afraid I'm going to miss it, Lord. Listen, if you got a heart to hear God's voice, don't you go through life worrying. You live with liberty. You live with freedom. You do what you know to do right now. And you do that with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And when God's ready for you to take the next step, be willing, be ready, and He will make it crystal clear. Our God speaks clearly. But we got to do our part. We've got to do our part and be open and willing and to be listening to the Lord. And number five, this is the fifth point. What do we do now? Where do we go from here? I'll tell you what we do. We obey right away. Underline this in your Bible. Notice what happened exactly immediately after Paul heard or saw the vision. Notice verse 10. And after he had seen the vision. Underline your Bible right there if you do that. Immediately. And you can put off to the side. Immediate obedience. He said, immediately we endeavored. That means we got on track to go to Macedonia. Luke is saying right here, Paul got the vision. And he said, come on boys, we're going to Europe. I don't believe he said Europe. But I do believe he said, we're going that direction to where God is leading us. We're going to a place where we have not been. And it says that we endeavor to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering what? The Lord has called us to preach the gospel unto them. It was the call of God, and they obeyed right away. And my friends, if we want to know where do we go from here, we just need to be willing to be obedient right away. When God says do something, do it. When God says give up something, give it up. When God says add something onto your life, add it. We got to be obedient to the light that God has given us. Obey right away. Immediately. A lot of times, the reason we're not hearing the voice of God clear It's because we're not obeying in the things we know to do right now. I'm not saying this to be mean. You know this. You know my heart in this. But listen, do not expect to hear the call of God and the direction of God if you're not reading your Bible. Some people would say, listen, I'm just confused. I don't know what to do. And you ask them if they're reading their Bible. And I say, well, no, I'm not reading my Bible. Well, begin with that obedience of reading your Bible. God will make His voice clear to you. Mark this verse reference down in obedience. 1 Samuel 15:22 says this, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? He says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Do you see what he's saying right here? This prophet Samuel. Listen, there's a truth that just streams through the Word of God and pours through the Word of God, and God blesses obedience. Simple saying, here am I, Lord, send me. I want to worship You. I want to obey You. I want to love You. And God is not interested in all that you are doing until He realizes who you're being, that you're being an obedient servant. Because it's easy to do the things that you want to do and say, I'm doing them for the Lord. But really, you're not really being obedient in the things God is telling you to do. That's where we have to make sure we're on the right track. You see, Paul is getting ready to open up a mission work on a whole nother continent. But it didn't start just like that from Antioch. There was a testing going on. There were some roadblocks. Where do we go from here? I don't know where you're at right now. You might be at a roadblock, you may not be, but keep faithful, and God is going to give you a call for certain things. And it's going to be clear. And God's going to use you in a mighty, mighty way. David Livingston, one of the greatest missionaries that we know of, he served his Lord faithfully on the continent of Africa, blazed many trails, saw many, many people come to Christ there on that great continent. But he had a heart for the Lord that led him to do that. It did not come naturally. In fact, David Livingston made a couple quotes here. He said, and it just, you can see his heart. He said, I am prepared to go anywhere provided it be forward. What was he saying there? Lord, I'm willing to go anywhere. Lord, be it forward for Your glory. Listen to what he said here when people were talking about they want to come help David Livingston, and they thought it was really adventurous sounding, and that people were trying to get on board and whatever the case may be. And they were saying, look, they want to know where a road is that they can basically get to you. And listen to what he says. He says, if you have men who will only come if they know there is a good road, I don't want them. I want men who will come if there's no road at all. What was that saying? Saying somebody that's going to walk by faith. Somebody that's going to trust God when things get nasty, when things get hurtful, when things get hard and difficult. I'm looking for somebody that'll stand up and just be an obedient servant with a sweet spirit. And say, Lord, if You got me here for now, You got me here for now. But Lord, wherever You lead, I want to go. I want to be faithful to the Lord. You know, that same David Livingston would go on and write a song, a poem that Frank Garlock would later put music to. And you may or may not be familiar with it, but the title of the song is Lord, Send Me Anywhere. Very powerful song. The first part says, Lord, send me anywhere. Lord, send me anywhere, only go with me. That's what the first part says. A lot of Christians say it like this. Lord, send me anywhere, only not Africa. Some say, Lord, send me anywhere, only not China. Some Christians say, Lord, send me anywhere, only not my neighbor. It's true. But what the Lord is looking for is someone to say, Lord, send me anywhere, only go with me. Lay any burden on me, only sustain me. Sever any tie, save the tie that binds me to thy heart. Lord Jesus, my King, I consecrate my life, Lord, to thee. Where do we go from here? I'll tell you where we go. We go forward. We go forward with God, and the Lord will give all the details in His timing. God will make it clear when it needs to be clear. Let's do our part. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Be surrendered and willing and ready. And as Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke are getting ready to go on a great, awesome, God-filled adventure of preaching the gospel on the continent of Europe. And because of that, churches are going to be planted. And because of that, churches are going to be planted in America centuries later. And it's going to go because of one man's obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no telling what God is wanting to do in this room tonight. God's calling. And we got to be willing to say, Lord, here am I. I will go anywhere. Let me end with this question right here. And please listen. Listen very carefully. Have you, I don't care, there's no age groups here I'm naming. I'm every soul in this room. Have you said, Lord, I am willing at my age, in my season of life, with my talents, my not so talents, I'm willing to do anything. I'm willing to go anywhere and do anything you call me to. Now, if you don't answer that question by the Spirit of God and say, yes, I'm willing, I've surrendered, you'll never know the next step God has for you. You've got to come to the place where saying, Lord, it's anywhere. Just make me a servant of yours. But when you do that, your soul will flood with pure liberty and joy because you know you will have the peace of God saying, Lord, I'm willing to do anything. And God will lead you so very clearly. Would you pray with me, church?